Romans chapter 8. I know we keep ending up there a lot, but that's a good place to end up. Anywhere in the Bible is a good place to end up. And last week we was going over the fruit of the Spirit is, who can tell me the first one is what? Love. Who can tell me the second one? Joy. Who can tell me the third one? Peace. We was on peace last week. So love, and we went to 1 Corinthians 13 and found out what love was. And then joy, and joy comes, not the joy that the world gives, but joy that comes from knowing God. The joy that God brings inside us from knowing Him. And then the peace that we have from allowing Him to reign in our lives, that the peace of God which passes all understanding. And I remember, this is not peace that you work up, not peace that the world gives, but peace that God gives. And that's what we want to look at. Let's read together here in Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 5 and read down through here. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So can we please God in the flesh? No, it's impossible. Verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Now, I'm hoping that everyone here has the indwelling of the Holy Ghost of God. But there's a difference of having the fullness of God inside. And that's allowing the Holy Ghost of God to reign and rule in our lives. So there's a difference of being saved and a difference of having God having full reign in our lives. It's like I got this thing of water and somebody can say it's a... How am I full? I see it's about right here. Somebody could say it's a 3/4 full. Somebody could say it's a 1/4 empty. But until this is poured all the way out, watch me. If all this does not get poured out, I cannot put nothing else inside. So for it to be filled with something else from God, every bit of this inside must be poured out before it can be filled up. You with me? So if I keep part of me in here, can God fill that up? No, He can't, can He? Because part of me is still there. So to get part of all of me out is getting all of me out. Because me will get in the way. You will get in the way. You will goof up. So to pour all of ourselves up, to be filled with the Spirit of God, that means all of us needs to be out of the way. Every part of every aspect, all my wants, my desires, my hopes, my dreams, every part of my life must be pushed aside and trust wholly and fully in God to fulfill every other aspect of my life. I know that's scary. It's kind of like walking on water. Peter did it for a while, as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord. Because you're trusting God with your hopes and your dreams. In other words, you're letting go of everything. That's a scary place. So, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? He's there. There's that, well, I think I told Pastor and a few others, you know, we have the residence of Christ moving in. Now is He president of your heart? Did you catch that? He has residence. You've allowed Him in. He's come in. He's moved in. He's camped out. He's set up stature, because once he's there, can he get out? No, you're sealed, according to Ephesians, you're sealed into the day of redemption. So he has been trapped inside my, that's why I call him, he's trapped inside me, because he's got to put up what I see, what I think, where I go, what I listen to, what I watch. He's exposed to everything. That's a scary thing, that someone that's holy and pure, that cannot sin, and he's inside of me, trapped. No doubt he probably does this half the time. Oh my goodness, I can't help it. Or we get angry, get in the flesh, and flesh comes up and goes, oh my goodness, what are they doing? Help me. That's why I said, quench not the Spirit of God whereby we are sealed. Who's ever quenched the Spirit of God? Yeah, I too. And that's the sad one we have. But we don't got to. We have a choice there. So, as we looked at this, there's some words I want to bring out here and look at. In verse 5, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind. That word mind here, listen to this, this is good. To exercise the mind, to entertain or have a sentiment or an opinion by implication, to be mentally disposed more or less earnestly into a certain direction. Now I'm going to slow that down so we can catch it all. To exercise the mind, what are you thinking about? What do you think? You thinking about bearing fruit? Every time we go out them doors, we ought to be thinking, how can God use me? Not going out these doors and say, how can I use God? No, how can God use me? Listen, to exercise the mind. Just look over here at Hebrews. Oh, if I can find it. Someone knows the verse, Hebrews. They have exercised the mind both to discern both good and evil. What's chapter 5? See, Pastor's right on. Chapter 5. Let's look at that real quick. That just popped in my mind in the Hebrews chapter 5. Yeah. Look at 5 and verse 13 and 14. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even them who by reason of use have their senses, now listen, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, your senses, you have yourself aware of everything around you, both to discern. Now, we live in an age where everybody's got a diet pill, everybody's got a gym class, everybody's got a treadmill, or they got a bicycle they pedal, or they got a ski machine, or they got the one they sit on, and they got a boat that they row in their house, and they got all these things that it, what are you laughing for, Brother Hardy? You've seen one of them too? Well, okay. But everybody's got something in their house they jump on or ride or trot on, and everybody's exercising. How many's exercising themselves to discern both? Their senses. Their senses, that's what you're aware of. Do you sense? Your senses exercise both to discern both good and evil. Now, that's talking about the age, but that ought to be your goal, is to be aged and grounded in the Word of God, to where we're able to use it and both discern both good and evil. That ought to be our goal in everyone, especially young people. That ought to be a goal in your life. Some of these other ones, that ought to be something you already have a stake in the ground. You've got it beat in deep and you can lean on it, because you've been there a while. You've been discerning for a while. Both to discern both good and evil. You ever been in a room? Somebody walks in and you feel the, like, oh my. And you feel this coldness, this distance. Boy, everybody's nodding right. You're sensing something. You're sensing a presence coming in to both discern both good. At one time I had a witch walk in the room when I was witnessing to Dave Jones, a friend of mine in Carnesville. When she come in, I felt her presence. But what was good, she felt mine. She ended up turned tail and run. I didn't do that. That was God. She sensed who was with me, which is far greater than what she had with her. Amen. She sensed the presence of God. It got uncomfortable. She sits there and squirmed. I mean, this woman's got, you walk in her house, she's got all the walls black. Got snakes, spiders, you know, she got her little seance thing she does, and she wears black fingernails, black this, black that, and yeah, she's one of those. She looked dark. But I'm thankful that God gives us discernment. And we've seen here that both discern both good and evil. Now let's go back here to 8 here in verse 5 again. Chapter 8, verse 5 in Romans. For that they that are after the flesh do mind, and this thing mind means to exercise the mind. You're thinking about it. In other words, you're exercising your mind the things of the flesh. You thinking about cars or homes or things or trinkets or toys or vacations or all the carnal things that Satan bombards us with. Billboards popping up, man. Advertisements. Satan is clever. There's advertisement. There's one there on the bottom of 465. You don't even want to go that way. You want to go clear around the other side. I guarantee you that. What are you laughing for? You've seen it too, ain't you? Yeah, I'd just soon just go all the way around 465 the other way just so I can avoid it. I ain't got to go by it. 50-foot woman on a billboard. Goodness gracious. With nothing on. God help us. And then it's legal. Well, what did this country turn to? So we see that they that are after the flesh do mind the things. In other words, they exercise. If you're after the flesh, you mind the things. You exercise your mind to think about things of the flesh. That kind of helps us next time you get carnal. Oh, Brother Hall, he nailed our eye good, boy. There I am. I need to exercise my mind to things of God. Right. Next time you have a carnal moment, man, said, Lord, help me here. But then it says, but they that are after the flesh, the things of the Spirit. In other words, they're exercising their mind to the Spirit. In other words, when you're getting around the world, I mean, one of the things I go through that gate when I go in at work, I'm saying, oh, God, help me. There's a bell, and you can call me silly. There's a bell for to get the secretary's attendance. There's nobody here but me. You know when I ring it? Lord Jesus, help me this day. Name of the Father. Name of the Son. Name of the Holy Ghost. It's going bang, bang, bang. And it rings to the whole place. Call me silly, but that's what I do. And every time I walk by it, I hit it again. And somebody's watching, let them watch. I don't care. Because I want to be a witness for the things of God while I'm there. I want them to know that there's somebody inside me that's made a difference in my life. Not just here, but to the world to come. And I'm thankful. Some of them saying, who would you vote for? What do we do? And I'm going, what are you asking me? Don't ask, well, who am I? I'm the sweeper. You're asking me, but there's something different. They know I might have a little bit of spiritual advice, maybe. Glory be to God. They see something maybe a little different. So when they that are mine, that after the flesh, they exercise the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they exercise them things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, and this here was in past tense, it's inclination, they purpose themselves to think. Do you purpose yourself to read your Bible? Do you purpose yourself to say, Lord Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit of God today? It's not by accident. You literally ask God to, Lord, help me this day, every day. So, for to be carnally minded is death. These are people that purpose themselves on being carnal. They purpose themselves on carnal influence. Fleshly influence. Fleshly billboards, they stop and wander and dwell on them a while. Fleshly advertisement, it could be clothes, it could be staying up with the Joneses down the street, it could be anything. But those are all fleshly. They war against us. They fight against us. And days you think you're winning, Satan will come and trip you up and give you something else to think about. Devil, sly old fox, I'd like to take him and put him in a box. Lock the box and throw away the key for all those tricks he played on me. For to be carnally minded is death. Death. But to be spiritually minded, in other words, you purposed in yourself to be spiritual about things. You purpose in yourself to read God's Word. You purpose in yourself to submit yourself to the will of God. You purpose in yourself. It just don't happen. You literally go out of your way to be spiritually minded. That ought to be the desire of every one of our hearts. If you're a Christian, that ought to be the desire of your heart to want to please God in every part of your life. Grab God's Word and make, not just to read it to get it over with. I did that too. Okay. Come on. You did it. I did my Bible reading. I'm spiritual today. But what'd you get out of it? What did I get out of it? Go do it again. Meditate. Find something that speaks to your heart and stop, ponder on it and say, Lord, help me. Others, let it grab root inside you and let it deal in your heart. That way it makes a difference to your day. Maybe say it out loud a few times, then take off with it. In other words, you're exercising your mind. What Paul say, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Same one got a hold of Paul. Same one. He's for us today. To make a difference. Because the carnal mind is enmity. An enemy against God. In other words, one that's... It exercises themselves to worldly things, fleshly things. It's an enemy of God. I know when I go, I walk in at Goodwill, I see a three-piece suit, I'll stop. Or I see a gun shop or a knife case, I'll stop. We do that. See a four-wheel drive truck, Bug Dave, and I stop and look at it. How high is that thing? Wow, look at that thing. Ain't it pretty? Can I hear it run? You know, I'm wanting to ask that next. I want to listen to the motor. So we all wrestle with these things. Because the carnal mind is enemy. It's an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be some. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But then he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. No matter being saved or unsaved. I'm going to go back to that same verse I read to you about 3 weeks ago in Ecclesiastes 36, verse 27, where he says, I will put my spirit within you. You can thank Oswald Smith about this one. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. I broke this little verse up. I got about 2 minutes and 50 seconds. This word cause literally means, listen, to apply, to appoint, to ascribe, to charge, to thrust one. You ever have God thrust you into a certain direction? You go, and you know how, God could do it no other way, but He had to put a stop sign here and a stop sign here and a stop sign and kind of give you a little push to get you to go a certain way. I've been there. That's God. That's God working in your life. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. It's just God trying to help you along, Miss Sarah. Ain't that right? He's trying to help us along to get us to go the right way. to cause, in other words, he goes, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you or thrust you or turn you or yield you to walk in my statue. This word literally means to hack or engrave. In other words, it's literally put in granite this statute in life that cannot change. That God puts it when Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's something He puts in our ballpark where He asked us to do this. But He didn't ask us. He said, be ye holy, for I am. And if He's living in us, this peace that He has will have. To cause, the statute, to keep means to hedge about as thorns, generally to protect, to guard, to watch, to generally to hedge about, to walk about, to hedge about our minds. Boy, if anything is going to get our minds right, it's that God help us to get in Your Word and take it to heart and live by it. Let it be your stay. Let it be your guide. Let it be every part in your life to help you make a decision. To keep, to hedge about as with thorns. Ain't that something how it says that, as with thorns? In other words, you're keeping the critters up. Devin knows the verse I'm thinking of right now, and I've said it before. It's in Proverbs. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. There's a wall about us mentally, around our minds and our hearts, to protect ourselves. To protect ourselves with God's Word. Protect ourselves, submitting ourselves to God. Say, God, I need Your help. I will surely fail if I'm on my own. In other words, to keep His judgments, His statutes, to hedge about them, to protect them, that they're special to you. And I'm out of time. So we're going to exercise our minds to bear fruit. It won't come no other way. We must exercise our thoughts to bear fruit. Or the devil's going to put enough advertisement out there for us to where we'll be exercising our carnal minds. Then out of our spiritual mind. And we have the two. I know we're bipolar, every one of us. It's saved. We have the old man, but we have the new man, which is renewed every day. God help us to renew the new man every day. And let Him reign and rule in our lives. That way we're in a situation and God's nudging our hearts to speak. We won't bite our tongue and not say nothing. We'll just speak up no matter who's listening. And just say it. We need God in this country. That's what we need. I'm telling you, any time we need God, we need Him now. If you know Him, I'd be praying. That's why I was in the control room. That guy, one guy said, you're right, we need God. And I'm going, boy, this is getting good. I was eating it up. They realize it. They realize they need God and they don't even know Him. But they know we need Him. Well, that's getting close, ain't it?